Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education, your weekly guide to education matters in Ireland and further afield. You can get in touch with me through Twitter at InsideEd, by email to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie, or through the programme's website insideed.com. On this week's programme, I'm delighted to speak to the chairman of NACE, which is the British equivalent of CESI, the Computer Education Association of Ireland. NACE, N-A-A-C-E, stands for the National Association of Advisors for Computers in Education, and it was established just over 30 years ago. Dougal McCormack is the current chairperson of NACE and is a former primary school teacher. Today, he is an educational consultant who works to support schools in using technologies for innovation and creativity. He believes passionately in the role of technology to facilitate innovation and transformation in education. What happens in technology in Ireland often mirrors what happens in the UK, so I thought it would be interesting to get a related perspective on technology in education. When I met up with Dougal in Galway at the 2015 annual conference of CESI earlier this year, I first asked Dougal for his response to what he observed at the CESI conference.
I'm incredibly impressed. Things kicked off brilliantly last night with the Teach Meet event. I'm something of a Teach Meet veteran, Sean. I think I attended my first Teach Meet probably 6 or 7 years ago, and have been to many in my time, including, you know, hosting and emceeing Teach Meets. And it's something when I say that that was one of the best I've been to. There was a real buzz about the event last night, a really good mix of people, fantastic ideas being shared, something for everyone, didn't matter what kind of background you came from. And I think for people to finish work on a Friday and come along to a professional development event on a Friday evening, and for there to be such energy, excitement and enthusiasm, is incredibly refreshing. And then here we are again today, and today I suppose a little bit more formal than the Teach Meet last night, but the sessions so far have been nothing short of inspiring, and I know that I've only been to a selection. It was great to kick off this morning with Tim Rylands. Anyone who knows of Tim will know how fantastic a session with Tim can be in terms of just a cornucopia of wonderful ideas. So we were treated to Tim kicking the event off. And as someone who has an interest in primary education, I was lucky enough to attend a session hearing from some practitioners about how they've been using the BeBot robot technology in infant and younger children's classrooms. So for me, it's been a fantastic start. You know, I'm feeling invigorated.
You use the term there, which might be unfamiliar to some listeners, and that was a teach meet. Can you just say what that is?
It's a slightly alternative model of professional development, and it's it describes itself as by teachers for teachers. So it's a very quick fire session, which is pacey and can be a little bit disorganized, where practitioners come to a venue and speak for a short period of time, 2 minutes or 5 minutes, about a project or about something that they've done in their school or in their classroom that they know works, that they know others will take some benefit from. So it's kind of on a random basis. Presenters come out to the front, very quickly share some really good ideas. It's really positive. It has a really good buzz about it. And people go away thinking, you know what, I've got something I can use tomorrow or on Monday.
And is it always about technology, or is this used in other areas?
I think traditionally Teach Meet has been about technology, but I've seen some non-technology based Teach Meet presentations where people have talked about analog stuff, building dens, making music, an idea for art or whatever, or the use of an interesting resource. So no, it doesn't have to be technology. I think traditionally it has been. If I'm honest, I'd like to see it widen a bit more and for people from a variety of backgrounds to come and get something from it.
And do you need a certain number of teachers for it to work?
No. For me, Teach Me isn't really a new concept. You know, I started teaching in 1990, 1991, and what did we do when we found something had gone well in the classroom? We went hotfoot to the staff room, grabbed our coffee, sat down next to someone and said, guess what I've just done? This has been brilliant. You should have seen little Damien's face when we did. And so we've always shared what works and what doesn't work. Teach Meet just takes that concept of the staff room or the campfire, if you like, and moves it into a slightly more kind of organised formal setting.
Dougan, how did you get interested in technology in education?
So I told you, I first started my career in the early 90s when the first kind of computers were... Well, I suppose computers have been around a little while in education, but I remember that being accepting my first job in a school, and I was the only male teacher, and the computer, there was one computer in the school, was my job. And I think that it was a bit of that kind of old school thinking, oh great, we've got a bloke, he can look after the computer. And so I kind of defaulted into it. I wasn't especially interested in technology and education, but that first 5 years where I was the guy who was beginning to move technology forward in the school, and we moved from one computer to a computer in every classroom, and then a set of computers in the classroom, and then as I was leaving, I left the school with the legacy of the computer suite and lessons that involved a more integrated technology. And I'd seen the impact and I'd seen the excitement that was associated with it. And I suppose that lit a fire in me that's blazed ever since.
So what excites you then about technology in education moving, say, to closer to the present day?
We're now in a situation where we are increasingly seeing two types of school. We're seeing those schools who are prepared and who are moving forward with a more seamless integration of technology. And in schools where that's happening, new and different things are happening. We're seeing kids who are being more autonomous, who are taking control of their learning, who are being more creative. We're seeing teachers who are using more innovative approaches, such as a flipped learning model, which is one in which a technology might present the idea to pupils. It's kind of like pre-homework. So the teacher might set them something to do in advance of a lesson where they'll use a website or a YouTube clip or something like that, and then come in and the teacher facilitates some kind of creative enterprise that the kids might do. We're seeing a far greater parental engagement where technologies are used to involve parents, and where that happens, we see far better impacts on outcomes for youngsters. We're seeing young people engaging with global audiences through communication technologies like blogs, and that's incredibly powerful. And I think schools and establishments where those kinds of models are happening are beginning to move things on to a new level, and that's exciting, and I think we're going to see more of that. But it also presents us with a challenge, because that isn't true for every establishment.
And yet the technology in itself doesn't actually lead to better educational outcomes or better education.
Absolutely. But I've always said what makes a difference to kids is teachers. And teachers have at their fingertips a whole range of resources that they can deploy, whether it's a pot of paints, a pencil, a calculator, a piece of clay or a musical instrument, or an iPad. The best teachers deploy the resources at their hands for the best effect. And they assess the impact, they monitor the impact, and they deploy resources accordingly. And if it is a piece of technology, well, then teachers are hopefully going to use those things to maximise learning. Now, the thing about technology is the opportunities are immense. When you see how far technology's come, when you see what can be done with a tablet computer or handheld devices, it's staggering. And in the hands of effective teachers, those resources can be used really powerfully and can really accelerate how learning happens.
Can you describe any examples as vividly as you can that you've seen of technology being used to teach particular subjects or particular skills in schools?
Okay. I was having a chat with a colleague yesterday, and he was saying he often gets asked, and it's a question I get asked, have you got a good app for primary geography? Or can you tell me a good app for history? And my response is generally, the best app is the camera. And used well, a device with a camera on it can be incredibly useful. So I've seen some fabulous work in infant classrooms where kids have gone off with iPads and taken photographs on theme. So they might take photographs of big things or photographs of small things or red things or green things or letter A or number one or angles or shapes or whatever, and then put those together using an app that might create some kind of photo collage. And that's where it gets really good and really interesting. It's that kind of blend of getting the kids active, getting them doing stuff whilst also using a piece of technology. And of course, the way that these tablets are, they're so intuitive. Kids kind of just jump straight in and can get on with stuff. So I've seen some really good stuff with early years and the younger end of the spectrum. But of course, I mean, I'll go back to the thing about the global audience. Seeing the impact on writers of them understanding that their writing is potentially being read by a huge number of people beyond the walls of the classroom, that can be powerful stuff. So a bit of creative writing in English.
Are you thinking of that being done to blogging?
Yeah. When I think back, how proud I felt as a 11-year-old when my teacher took my piece of writing and put it on the classroom wall. I had a sense of pride in my heart that was hard to measure. The idea that someone in my class might have read my writing, that someone other than my teacher might read my writing, that the head teacher might come in and read my writing, made me feel motivated and proud. Imagine now a child can do a piece of writing and 50, 100, 1,000, 10,000 people might read that piece of writing and might leave a comment on it and provide some kind of feedback. That's powerful stuff. And that's the kind of thing that is afforded through the communication technology we have nowadays, such as blogging.
Are there other applications that you like?
How long have you got? Yes. I think we're blessed at the moment to be in a time where channels of communication have exploded in terms of the possibility. So the kinds of tools that can be used for collaboration, without trying to be too kind of overly recommend commercial products or anything like that. Google have a fantastic suite of educational applications that allow for collaboration. On the other side, Microsoft Office 365 and tools like that, in the hands of creative teachers, deploying the resources well, can provide incredible opportunities. And there's whole quantities of free, fantastic apps. Visit Tim Ryland's website to find out more, because he's constantly sharing useful applications and software and websites that can help with this kind of thing.
Are there pitfalls that a teacher can fall into, say, oh, right, I'm going to use this technology, but really just not use it to good effect?
Yeah, of course. This goes back to what I was saying earlier about a skillful teacher deploys resources in a well-planned out, well-thought-through way where they're monitoring the impact of those resources, they're assessing progress, and they're ensuring that the resources are deployed to the best effect. The worst thing we can think of is technology being a digital worksheet or a digital nanny to keep the children quiet, or for technology to be a tool for consumption rather than a tool for creation. And I think whilst back in the 90s, it was wonderful the way teachers were sharing their resources through resource sharing hubs and websites and forums, I think there was an element by which there might have been those who on a Sunday night, when they were desperate to think of what they might do on a Monday morning, might just have popped to the nearest download a worksheet website and potentially, you know, use it in that way without thinking through the impact or thinking through how carefully they might use that resource. And there's a danger there. But that's not an issue with the technology. That's an issue with teachers who aren't potentially, you know, deploying themselves at their best.
And if we take that idea of consumption of technology, could you give an example of what that might be?
So a teacher uploads a PowerPoint presentation that they have used in the lesson that day, and then they set for the pupils' homework for them to go home and read through the PowerPoint presentation that the teacher used that morning. That's consumptive rather than creative. A more creative approach might be You've received my lesson on, let's take an example of medieval castles. What I would like you to do now is I would like you to go home and use some free web applications, or go to the school library and use a computer if you don't have one at home, and create some kind of comic strip or a video clip or a creative product as a result of what you've learnt in class today. So I'm all for the more let's make something rather than let's consume something.
Looking back to how teaching was when you started, Dougal, and looking forward maybe to 10 years' time, how do you think education and technology are going to sit together? And do teachers always need to be on the lookout for the next big thing?
I think there are some significant kind of general shifts that have happened, and I don't think it's so huge. And there's an element of frustration that I have about that. I think one of the shifts is the move away from the kind of sage on the stage, teacher as fount of all wisdom, the knowledge is in the teacher's head and needs to be passed to the pupil's head, traditionalist, almost Victorian model. I think we're beginning to see a move away from that to one where the student or learner becomes a more proactive member of the learning process, one in which learners are more empowered, and one where teaching becomes a role that's more around facilitation than pedagogy, if you like. So that's one shift, and I think technology facilitates that in some ways. In terms of where that might go, I'd like to see that, if anything, shift more. I think technology has the opportunity to empower learners, to put them more at the heart of the learning process. I've always been a great fan for learning to be happening through the medium of collaboration. So I think the kind of social development, kids working together in groups is a powerful way. So working together in groups to make stuff is good. And I think, again, that's something that technology can help. I can't future gaze beyond even a matter of a year or two. But I think going back to what I was saying about there being two kinds of schools and education moving to the next level a little bit, I think we will see things like flipped learning, things like kids owning the technology. So I think developments in bring your own device, kids coming to school using their own devices, accessing content via browsers and cloud-based content will be potentially the way things might move. I do think children at the heart of learning, a relinquishing of power on the part of teachers, could be something that we see a little more of as time goes on.
One thing you may have done back in the early 90s was some simple computer programming with your children. Do you think computer programming should be part of children's education?
I really do, Sean. But I think we need to be careful how we sell this. Not every child is going to be naturally brilliant at programming computers. Not every child is going to be the next billionaire games creator or person who comes up with the new Facebook or social media. However, not every child is going to be the next professional musician or the next Booker Prize writer or great artist. But there are some fundamental things that we make sure kids have to learn around being literate, being artistic and being musical. And the same, I think, is true in terms of their understanding of computing and computer programming. So let's not sell it to kids in terms of you're going to get a career out of this, but let's sell it to kids in terms of this is a really useful exercise for you to undertake. So I think it's not all about computer programming. It's about the way we need to think if we are engaged in computer programming type activities, whether they are on computers or not. So I'm a big fan of analog computing, computational thinking, problem solving, applying the concepts around computer programming to real life situations, like how kids line up. Or games like Guess Who, you know, the one where you have the characters, you've got to say, you know, does he have this, does he have that? There's a whole raft of things that can be done. So it's about the way it makes us think and about how we go about solving problems that I think is why that kind of exercise is essential. But that doesn't mean we have to have a whole generation of kids who can write great long Python scripts or whatever.
And that was going to be my next question. You know, if you were teaching computer programming now, is it Python you'd use, or would you use something else? Like, say, the older one, the one I would have used back in the 90s was Logo. So what would you...
Well, I would urge people to use more than one. And then that allows the analysis of those tools. So let's use Scratch this year. Let's use Kodu next year, say in primary. And then let's talk to the kids about the pros and cons of those different tools. Which is better for what? Because in the talking about it, there's some really important learning. So anything that engages them in problem solving, in computational thinking, is important that they do, and so long as there's more than one. I don't know enough about the ins and outs of what they might go on to learn in terms of languages later on when they get older, but more than one, and able to analyse what it does well and what it doesn't do well.
One of the reasons that you're here in Galway, Dougal, is that you're chairperson of NACE in the United Kingdom, as I said. What kind of activities do you do with teachers as part of that organisation? And, you know, tell us a little bit about it.
OK, so NACE is an organisation like SESI who are in the business of promoting the enhancement of learning through the appropriate use of technology. And that includes, to some extent, the computer programming aspects of our curriculum. We have a wider interest in the use of technology to enhance learning. We've got a number of tools that we allow schools to use. We've got a tool called the Self-Review Framework, which is a self-review tool that has a matrix that schools can look at to evaluate how well they're using technology and how it impacts on learning. And as a result of that, they can develop their own ongoing plans of how they can bring things in and make things better. We have a thing called the Third Millennium Learning Award, where we invite schools to produce a short video clip, which is a clip for parents. So the audience is parents, and the school is providing a short clip for parents to see why they would bring children to that school. And that essentially is going to include how they're using technology to make a difference. I would urge people to have a look on the nace.co.uk website and look for the Third Millennium Learning Award videos. We provide professional development for schools and teachers in a whole range of the use of technology. And of course, we have an annual conference, and we're a membership organisation. So as a result of membership, you have access to various resources, a talk list and these kinds of things.
How would you describe the current state of technology and education in across the UK?
Mixed, in a word. You've already heard me allude to the fact that we increasingly have two different types of schools, those that are beginning to move with this and those that may be moving at a slower pace. Very exciting at one end, where schools are really pushing forward and doing some very innovative things, implementing one-to-one device rollouts, bring your own technology type programs. And at the other end, and this is where some of my professional work is involved, moving schools into a way of thinking and an acceptance that technology can make that difference, and can make that difference across the piece rather than just in its own right. And I think this, sometimes that's where the thinking may need, I'm overemphasizing this, I think this is the minority nowadays, but a bit of thinking where actually the technology can really make a difference to my subject. And I think it's no longer good enough to say, well, I've managed my whole career so far without using a laptop or without using any technology. Why should I use it now? I don't think that's good enough anymore. I think increasingly it wouldn't be acceptable to not include technology as part of a whole programme of learning for kids.
And what would you say to a teacher who might say, like, I have missed out on it for so long, and to be honest, I've such a mountain to climb at this stage, I don't think I could even consider getting involved, even if I had a slight curiosity about it. What would you say to those teachers?
I would say this. I would say when I was 10 years old in the mid-1970s, my teachers taught me a whole range of writing skills. I learned how to write letters. I learned how to write poetry, stories, reports, instructions, and all of those forms of writing. Why did my teachers teach me those things? They taught me those things because they recognised that I needed to be literate when I left school. And that meant learning a broad range of things. My teachers never taught me how to write an email, how to comment on a blog, how to condense my thoughts into 140 characters for a tweet. And they didn't do that because those things didn't exist when I was 10 years old. But they exist now. And if we're going to prepare young people for a world that has technology in it, and where for a world where technology is entirely integrated with how people work, then we would be selling them short if we didn't include technology in the education of our young people. Would it be okay to not teach children poetry or for them to never pick up a musical instrument? Of course not, because those are things that are in the world and that are essential part of education. And technology is too. And I don't think it's okay to neglect and what is now an essential element of everyone's education. And I would urge any teacher who was balking at that to reflect. When I became a primary teacher, I'd never taught music. I'd never played a musical instrument. But my kids needed to learn music, so I made sure I could teach them it.
And yet, isn't there a danger there that some technologies can date? For example, a few years ago, Bebo was all the rage among college students, whereas now, ask any college students what Bebo is and they won't have a clue.
Yeah, but that's not a reason for me not to do it or not to look at it. Of course it changes. Well, so must we. Yeah, we can't always aim to keep up or keep ahead of the kids, but we've got to be as close as, because it's not okay not to do it. So get over it.
But still, you know, the teacher who taught you the poetry and the report writing and the letter writing and so on, okay, you mightn't use many letter writing skills today, but it was something that endured because I'm sure you draw on those skills when you write an email. So is there a risk that we could teach children, say, for example, how to tweet and then find out that Twitter has gone out of vogue in 20 years' time?
Sean, we're teaching people how to be literate. Of course it might go out of date, you know? I don't think there's any harm in, let's take tweets, for example. Well, why do we teach kids how to write haiku? We teach kids how to write haiku because it condenses and it distills down into a very short format what really matters. How is that different to a tweet? And yeah, you made the point yourself. You know, the skills you might use in writing a letter might cross over to writing an email. But wouldn't we be talking to kids about how does an email differ from a forum post, from a letter, from a tweet, from a Facebook update? Those, what differentiates those media is also literacy. So understanding the nuances between different forms of communication is also important. You know, Facebook might not exist, but understanding that we need to recognise that there are nuances, that there are differences, that you wouldn't use a smiley in a job application, or that you wouldn't use acronyms or hashtags in a letter to your auntie. These things are important, whether the technologies move on or not.
A word there from Dougal McCormack on the enduring lessons that can come from working with educational technologies, bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. You can listen to podcasts of 216 previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com or on iTunes. You can email me at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to Dougal McCormack and to the organising committee of SESI 2015, especially Anne McMorrow and John Heffernan, who set up a quiet room at the conference for the recordings. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney saying goodbye. Thank you for listening.